Blog Talk Radio.
You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Oh, she got the swag, so she drip the swag goo. You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Oh, she got the swag, so she drip the swag goo. Oh,
I may be young, but I'm ready to give you all my love. I told my girl you can get it. Don't slow it down, just let it go. So in love, I'll give it all away. Just don't tell nobody tomorrow.
Someone else's hero. Man, we were just in the food court eating God's heroes yesterday. That's the way. Every single morning I try to pray. Grandmama and them, they never forgot. Nothing else really mean nothing to me. I ain't studying to be talking to me. Girl, why you fucking with me? Move on, ain't nothing to see. Always from the song, I'm the wrong, off the rip, cause of him, all of them will remember, but the men, nut they fell in love with rap, black like having your cousin back, blue like when that rent is due, cream like when I'm loving you,
everybody. Welcome to another episode of Table Talk with T. And I was sad I wasn't able to do the show last week, but I wasn't feeling good, so I'm glad you guys are all here tonight. We're going to get it in. I see everybody coming into the chat room. Ronan is on the line as well. Hey, Ronan. I hope everybody had a really good Christmas. What you end up doing for Christmas, Ronan?
I ended up chilling, rolling up blunts with me and the Grinch and Ebenezer Scrooge.
You did, Tessie. Come on. What you say? He was running up a blunt like Rudolph's nose, as red as Rudolph's nose. Somebody need to get your life.
I mean, hey, everyone has their way of celebrating, so I had a nice Christmas. That's all I had.
I know, that's right. You got to do what you got to do. So anyways, as you guys know, tonight is the gift card giveaway. So me and Ronan came up with a list of really cool questions. I'm going to send you the updated list right now on Facebook, Ronan, so you have that. So we're going to have, we're going to be asking questions. We're going to do it within the last 20 minutes of the show. So what I want y'all to do, because there's already people on the line listening in, so it wouldn't be fair to have people call in because there's already people logged in, so they'd be the first ones to be able to answer. So what we're going to do is after we ask the question, what I want you to do is post the answer to the question on my Facebook, on my fan page. And I'll post the link in the chat room in case you guys don't have it. And it's basically going to be whoever is the quickest and whoever has the correct answer is going to win that gift card. So that's how that's going to work. So it's a lot of little fun questions. I think you guys will enjoy that. But we're going to end up doing that within like the next 20 minutes or so. So I just sent you the gift card list and everything, Ronan, so you should have that now. I'm going to go ahead and post the link in the chat room so you guys can post. Actually, you might want to have two windows open so y'all can go ahead and give yourselves a chance to win. So it's a lot of crazy stories going on, so we're going to go ahead and get started. First of all, the Mayan prophecy, December 21st, epic fail. All the doomsday preppers and all the, you know, people who were waiting for the end of the world to end, fail. I didn't buy into it. I was like, you know, I went to sleep. I had one last tweet. I had little strawberry crunch bars. And I was good. I was like, I have a feeling I'm going to wake up tomorrow. You know, I just don't believe in a lot of those end-of-the-world prophecies because at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, whatever our time is on Earth, whenever it's over, that's God's decision. So what did you feel about the whole Mayan prophecy? Because people were going crazy on the 20th.
I thought it was outright hilarious. I've heard people running mad, trying to buy shit. I was running through traffic, trying to get home. I just personally believe it was the post-dated prophecy check that bounced. And I was pissing people off, saying, you know, I was going to DJ at the Armageddon after party. If you look at it, there's a lot of people who profited on fear and stupidity.
Right.
They made billions. And you can't even argue. I'm mad I didn't even make a dime off of that because I could have made some money. But
I mean, you had websites that were like, you can buy a whole bug-out bag, a doomsday pack. But if the Earth is about to end, what's the bag going to do? If the whole world is supposed to just explode, what is this bag going to do? You're supposed to hide in the bag, and then you crawl out the bag, and you still here? Like, I didn't understand that at all, but they made money. They really did. And then what was so funny is when they bought out that Mayan guy, he was supposed to be like the predictor. I mean, I watched the whole little, I think his speech was like 30 to 40 minutes long. I watched it on my lunch break. And I'm like, these people can't be serious right now. I'm like, I haven't seen a Mayan ever. Where did they find him? I thought they were all killed off.
No, he had one of them Armageddon timeshares. So, you know, he just came out, like, hey, y'all, it's going to happen tonight. And then nothing.
And we ain't seen him since. Because the 22nd came, I said, well, where's the Mayan guy? We ain't going to do no follow-up. I want to know his opinion. Is he still here?
No, I mean,
can't
wait a minute.
Can't find him for nothing.
Well, you had to think about it. It's really, the time has been rescheduled. So there's a little mix-up. You know, we didn't know they were stuck on daylight savings time or, I don't know, rapture savings time, whatever you want to call it. But there's a little mix-up in there. Until they get it straight, then they'll bring the Mayan out and say, okay, we got that set. Now it's over. So that's what we wait on.
Look, VH1 Access says some man built the shelter underground. So so then he woke up the next day, came out and was like, damn, are y'all still here? The hell? Because
yeah.
You know they be spending money to build some underground shelters. They spend a lot of money on that stuff.
Well, here's something you can ask yourself, T. Like, who is out there thinking it really was going to be the end of the world? Who is having a doomsday baby? Or who done some shit that they find out, like, okay, it didn't end. Now I cannot go back to work. So
right. And Camera Lady's making a really good point. She said they perpetuate fear through the media. If anything bad happens, like a shooting, an earthquake, and other disasters, they play it over and over. So I definitely agree with that. And then G. Stewart is saying that we are destroying the ozone layer, the rainforest, the bees are dying off, we're having all these bad storms. So the earth is already changing. We're already messing up the earth as it is. So really don't need any more doomsday predictions. And Blake is bringing up the whole Y2K. He said back in 2000 some idiot buried a bus. And Y2K was crazy. I was trying to explain to my son. And, you know, they kept asking, like, Mom, is the world going to end and what's going to happen? I'm like, y'all still will have school tomorrow morning. I will make sure y'all will be there. Like, you know, nothing is going to happen. I said we went through the same thing when I was in, you know, getting ready to get out of high school, the whole Y2K situation, and nothing happened. I remember everybody was at church and folks was crying. And after, you know, after midnight hit, it was like everybody just kind of sat there and looked at each other. And they were like, well, I guess I'll go home now. And nothing happened. So, I mean, it was crazy. That's how I looked at it. It reminded me of Y2K, didn't you think?
Yeah, I've seen the whole thing. We was in church, and we seen the lights flicker a little bit, and then the sermon kept going, and people were buying ramen noodles and MREs and guns again, and they just like, computers are going to crash because they couldn't read the code from 2000. With some crazy shit like that. Like, all right, this, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I've never believed in that whole nonsense. And the next thing that's probably going to come up is the doomsday clock hitting midnight or whatever bullshit they're going to come up with. So
right.
Be prepared for that.
Now, Brian is saying in the chat room, he said that basically the 2000 was a lot scarier than the crazy Mayan prediction, and which I do kind of agree with that because nobody really knew what was going to happen to the systems. And then it was like everybody was just sitting there thinking, like, you know, what if the planes crash? They didn't ever think 2000 was going to come. So I understood that, especially coming from, like, a technical point of view. But the whole Mayan thing, you can't just bring out some scary so-called Mayan guy and then just, I'm about to feed into it. You know, but they were saying there was two parts to the whole prophecy. They were saying that some of it was supposed to be, like, a rebirth of the earth. And, like, if we don't, you know, start changing our ways and start teaching, you know, treating the earth better, that this is what's going to happen. I'm like, nah, don't y'all be trying to backtrack now. Y'all said the world was going to blow up. Now everybody's yeah. trying to remix it. Well, what he had meant was, nah, he said the world was going to implode.
So now the world's going to implode. I thought there was going to be a big planet destroyer asteroid supposed to hit, or there's going to be some massive alien raping spree, or there's always something new on these whole end of the world type themes or whatever. So, look, if go talk to Hollywood and come up with something original. That way, you know, make it believable. Like, okay, just,
right.
You know, the dollar's going to crash. Okay, there's a possibility of that, you know, or the world of common sense is going to end. It probably ended, like, years ago, but for real, just, this is getting old.
No, look, Blake is in the chat room. Jamal just walked in. Jamal's late. Yep, I put you on blast, Jamal. You know who else is gonna come in late? Danica. Danica will be here in like 20 minutes. Like, you guys, I'm late. Danica will be coming in here soon. I feel like I know everybody. Jamal said he's on CP time. But you know what's so funny? Blake is saying in the chat room that Speaking of Making Money 2012 by Jay Sean and Nicki Minaj was all over the radio. And yes, it was. And I barely listened to the radio, and it was all over the radio. You know, people are going to find ways to capitalize on stuff. That's why I didn't feed into it. I mean, I'm still planning on being a bootleg prepper. I'm still trying to prep my stuff. I'm waiting until tax time. I'm going to put some of my tax money aside, and I'm going to buy some supplies and stuff like that. I'm going to start investing in, like, a little bug-out bag. But not for no, you know, Mayan prophecy, just to have it in case something happens, like, you know, what happened with Hurricane Sandy, stuff like that, just so we're more prepared. So I am planning on doing that, but, you know, not because of some scary Mayan.
No,
so it looks like we have somebody calling in right now, Ronan.
Okay.
Area code 973, we're going to go ahead and let them in real quick here, see if they want to talk. Area code 973, you're on the air with Table Talk with T.
What's up, T? It's Flo, y'all.
Who is this? I can barely hear you.
Flo. Rebel. Flo.
Hey. What's going on, girl?
I've been hearing
you. Were you just listening?
Yeah, I was just listening. I wasn't going to interrupt y'all.
Oh, no, that's cool. I just wasn't sure because I seen your hand was up. So what did you think about the Mayan prophecy? I know you always have good things to add on Facebook.
Yeah, about the Mayans. I feel
yeah, about the world
like,
coming to a hand.
I feel as though, like, I mean, they had something to, like, contribute to it as far as, like, but I don't believe in that world coming to an end crap. I thought that was a big-ass, like, buffoonery. I think that obviously if Tom didn't stop back then, we still here, right? And they're,
right.
You know, they're, like, humans just like us. I just feel like that they always coming up with a way to put fear in us. I feel like they always coming up with something that's trying to, like, build this fear of the world ending. I mean, we do use the Earth's resources, but I feel as though, like, when it's going to come, we really not going to know unless that they mess with it through HARP. Because they have all these technologies out there, these antennas that's in these lands around our globe called HARP that manipulate our weather. So if something do happen, it can be probably controlled through that. You know how technology is nowadays. You know how it is.
Right. No, right. Man. It's a lot of crazy conspiracies and it's a lot of stuff going on. And we were talking about HARP a few shows ago when we were talking about the whole Hurricane Sandy. And to us, like we also, even like a lot of our East Coast callers were saying, like it just wasn't normal. You know, it was just a whole mess with that situation. So while we're on conspiracies, I don't know if you guys have heard in the chat room yet. I had sent this video out to a few people. VH1 Access sent it to me on, what was this, on Christmas? You had me scared when you sent me that video, VH1. So basically the whole Sandy Hook situation, and me and Rona were talking about this earlier, there are videos being put together, and they have a lot of evidence in them that the whole Sandy Hook thing was a manipulated, orchestrated plan. The man who was crying about his daughter being killed, they have video footage of him laughing right before he went on CNN's cameras.
Don't even look
the right. Girl, right, the lady, the teacher that was killed, Victoria Soto, her rest in peace memorial page was created 3 days before the shooting. So it's a lot of fishy stuff that's going on right now with the whole Sandy Hook situation. Plus, a lot of people are saying Hurricane Sandy, Sandy Hook. And then, Rona, you were saying something about the whole Batman situation with Sandy Hook being the city in the Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I think it was like an area in the city. It has something. It has some circle on Hook, and I didn't pay attention. But like we talked about it the next day at work, and then all this happened. I was like, this is too much of a little coincidence. I mean, it's like they're basically putting it out there, like for people. Like now they're going to dismiss it. And when you showed me that video where I didn't even get to finish the first 10 seconds of it. And just seeing, like, this person was walking past and smirking and then addressing the press. I'm like, get the fuck out of here with this shit. So,
they trying to ban guns. That's what that is. All this stuff that's happening right now, they slowly trying to take our rights from us. That's what's happening right now. They trying to make us get rid of our guns. They trying to turn people against us, like police and all that. What? I remember, like, what is it, like 2 years, 3 years ago, down here in the Prudential Center, you seen army men walking around with big AKs, walking around the street like it was nothing. I mean, I see a lot of things, like, right now, I don't believe in coincidences. Like, you really need to pay attention to detail. Like, I believe our people need to start waking up, because this is crazy. You mean to tell me, I posted up a video on Facebook one day, and it was some dude named Ned Talk. He was talking about how we all get different results depending on what we search for. They controlling all of that. We don't have no privacy. I already know we don't have no privacy through our cell phones. I was on the phone with my boy Corey. I met him through Lovely Tea Page or whatever. My boy Corey, we've been talking on the phone lately. We've been exchanging information. We've been posting it. And, like, it's just crazy. Like, it's real deep, and I just feel like people need to just really start paying attention, because everything is just being taken away from us slowly but surely. Soon on Facebook, like, don't you see that our privacy settings are changing all the time? Believe it or not, when me and Corey was on the phone, me and him was on the phone one night, and we were on cam on purpose, my camera started acting up, and it kept hanging up on us because we were talking about some real deep stuff. We was talking about, like, government, like Christopher Columbus, slavery. We was talking about things that are happening now, and, like, our his phone was cracking, and I started to sound like a robot. And it just was beeping on the line, and it hung up, completely hung up. So I made a post on my Facebook saying, I know y'all looking at me. I know I'm being watched, but that's not going to make me stop talking. Y'all just going to have to come in my house and do whatever y'all do. Y'all not putting no fear in my heart. That they taught us that. We're programmed to be feared. Like, fear is just an illusion. Us as people need to stand up. There need to be another MLK. There need to be another Malcolm X. People like Lupe Fiasco been talking about these things, and we need to really pay attention. I feel as though, like, I learned more, to be honest, I learned more after high school, after high school, when I started doing my own research. I was like, what? And you notice another thing that I feel like it's not a coincidence. Every time I'm in school, time I'm in school, like, they find a reason for me not to be in school. I was with Phoenix, in Phoenix for, like, let me see, about to be a year. My grades were B average. All because I didn't have health insurance, they kicked me out. Now I got all
because
these school
loans. Because of health insurance?
Yeah, because I ain't had no health insurance, because my health insurance
What does that have
stopped.
To do with you going to school? I don't understand
Look, man, every time I go to school, there's a problem all the time and never fails. It's like, I just don't understand. Like, I know they watching me, though. Like, my girl, after I got off the phone with Corey, I was on the phone with my girlfriend, and I started, like, I'd be trying to wake my girl up, because she'd be, like, caught up in her own life, which that's fine. But people need to understand that the people around us, we need to care about them, too, even if they don't care. The simple fact that when the people around us, like, don't realize what's going on and they're lost, who you think going to help us? We need to unite.
Right, you know, and that's what a lot of people are saying in the chat room. A lot of people are saying that they were creeped out by the whole Sandy Hook thing. A lot of people have been watching the videos. And people do feel like it's a way for them to ban the guns. And me and Ronan were saying earlier, and shout out to Danica, we was talking about you, girl. And what I tell you, I said, Danica's going to be 20 minutes late. She's going to run in here like, hey, T, I'm here. What's up, Danica? So, Ron, we were talking about that earlier, how there are, like, long lines now in, like, different cities, and most recently New York. They're telling people that they're doing gun buyback programs, that if you bring your guns to them, you don't have to, you know, answer any questions. They're not going to question you about where you got your gun from, but they'll give you back anywhere from $100 to $200 worth of cash. So, and you see these long lines of people really giving back their guns, and it's just like, that's crazy. I mean, I wouldn't do it. And a lot of these guns out here cost money, so it's like they're giving you $20, but that gun you spent, you know, damn near a stack on it. So it's not even equating to what you paid for the gun. So what did you think about people standing in the lines, Ronan, as far as to get back their guns for money?
That's pretty much taking a 30-foot dildo and shoving up your own ass. That's basically the same equivalent. The whole thing about Second Amendment is to defend yourself from a tyrannical government. So basically, you're seeing what the manufacturer of sheep going to the slaughterhouse by giving up their, you know, right to protect themselves. You know, they believe in allowing a bunch of dysfunction, a whole lot of trivial issues to manifest while the real shit is happening right before our very eyes. We do the whole thing about the conspiracies, about the end of the world, the prophecies, and all that mess. You figure once they say it enough times, we become desensitized to it because our reaction time to whatever is happening. We stop paying attention to what we need to pay attention to. So then when it actually happens or goes down, we're too late. That's what a lot of this shit is doing. So, you know, I'm not turning in shit. You know, not the fact.
And you know, I don't know. Finish what you were saying.
Well, I'm saying like not the fact that you know you paid quite a bit of money for your guns and you know home protection, but you got to figure like they're gonna give you some chump change, like to, you know, again like I keep telling people like on the last show, like why are you in line to turn back in your guns when the Department of Homeland Security has bought a million plus rounds of ammunition, and for what? You got to ask yourself those serious questions. So again, I would encourage anybody, and I said it, don't turn in shit. Just don't.
Word. I agree to that.
Right, and, you know, everybody's talking about school, and like I said in the chat room, school's all about indoctrination and socialization. School's not really about learning. You know, it's all about being a good test taker and regurgitating what they're telling you, but you know, now it's the point where teachers aren't even allowed to teach in specific ways. They have to teach off of a really strict curriculum. So they don't even have that freedom to really teach kids outside of the box because everybody just doesn't learn in black and white. Some kids are really creative, and then you have to find other ways to reach other children, you know, hence like the high dropout rate and things like that. So a lot of kids are being programmed in the schools. Because you're being taught a certain thing that you go to school, you do good, then you go on to college, and it's almost like this cycle. And once you get out of school and you start trying to figure yourself out and figure out, you know, what is this world really about? What do I want to do in life? What is life? That's when you really start picking up on stuff. I know that's what made me more aware was after I got out of school and got done with all that nonsense and I was able to see clearly, it's like, damn, this world that we live in is really messed up. It's really crazy. It's crazy how we treat each other. You know, people are in the chat room talking about the food, the GMO. I mean, you have fruit. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and it's like I remember being like in second grade eating a plum, and the plum was but so big. And it's like now you go to the store, it's like the size of a damn baseball. I'm like, is this normal? Like, you know, I used a lot of lemons in my cooking. Like, I drink a lot of lemon water and stuff like that. And if you ever look at an organic lemon that's not been genetically altered, quote unquote, and one that you just get at the grocery store, I mean, these lemons almost look like they're the size of footballs. They're huge. You know, it's just, it's creepy. You have grapes that are just big as hell. Everything is seedless. When I was a kid, you had to spit out the grape seed. But now nothing has a seed in it. It's like, you know, it's like, isn't that weird to people? Like, there's no seeds in fruit now. Everything is seedless. Watermelons, that was a fun part. It was irritating as a kid, but that was a fun part, eating a watermelon and spitting out them seeds. But now everything is just seedless. Nothing tastes as real anymore.
Well, the whole thing, you figure when you had to spit out those seeds, that means that fruit can actually reproduce itself. Now you're getting stuff that's weird. So it can't replicate itself. Otherwise, you wonder what they're putting in that fruit to put inside you. So, again, if you guys are not understanding what's going on, like why kiwi are big as melon now. You guys are missing it. It's happening. That's why we're walking around with our eyes wide shut. Now, there's a lot of us who are paying attention, and they're telling you, oh, that's a conspiracy or whatever. But you know it's like, we're no longer going out there playing like kids. We're no longer socially active like we used to be. Now we're stuck on the internet. We're getting fatter. We're getting dumber.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to school just to say that we learned something, but we're only learning what the fuck they're telling us. A whole bunch of intentional miseducation. And everything that's happened around here, 9 times out of 10, is more psychological than anything. So now you're desensitized to violence. Now you have no shame anymore. Now you don't trust the people that you gave birth to you. So you, again, the whole thing is about dysfunction. So while they don't trust each other, they're going to dime each other out. And you're making their job easy. That's why I told you, like, several shows are hands-free genocide.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
That's the truth, and they're saying a lot of really good things in the chat room. Folks are just going in. Brian Quimbley is saying that, like Lupe Fiasco says, people don't go into the field to help anymore. They go into the field to make good money and drive nice cars. And that is so true. It's like, you know, we have so many kids, even when you ask kids nowadays, what do you want to be when you grow up? Everybody wants to be an entertainer. Everybody wants to be a rapper, a model, Beyonce. But you rarely hear children anymore saying that they want to be doctors, lawyers. They want to help other people. They want to be, you know, pastors, social workers. Because why? That's not making quote-unquote money. You
that's
know, people
the
want
influence.
That fast money. Right. They want to live that, you know, personify a particular lifestyle. And it's sad. People don't want to be out here. Nowadays, you can't even get a lot of children to go out and volunteer. You know, so it's crazy. It's like volunteerism is dead. It's all about selfishness and doing for self and, you know, not looking out for your fellow man. When I was younger, we used to do this thing. I used to be part of this Rep Center program called the Jimmy Lee Center. And they used to take us all the time, at least twice a week, to volunteer. We used to help out at food shelves. We used to work with battered women's shelters. We used to go down to the Dorothy Day Center, which is a homeless shelter here in St. Paul, and we would serve food to the homeless people. And this is stuff I have been doing since the age of 12. So it's crazy because now that my kids are getting older, these programs aren't out here. You know, so a lot of times, like when we do little volunteer stuff for my kids, I take them out with stuff with my job. You know, like they might have like little volunteer days or make blankets and stuff like that. And making blankets is fine because people need blankets, but it's not the same as really looking into the eyes of somebody who literally has nothing. They're out on the streets and you're giving them a plate of mashed potatoes and they're just so grateful. Like I remember like that, having that good feeling after I helped people, or sitting there at like 13 talking to a woman who's twice my age about being in a situation where she's getting her ass whooped. Her baby's father, and she's teaching me, like, you know, you don't ever want to find yourself in that situation. I'm here with my kids, and, you know, da-da-da. And I just remember those experiences that I went through. And that stuff I did outside of school. You know, that was like a rec center program in our neighborhood. But unfortunately, the funding has been cut, so those programs mm-hmm. aren't even available anymore. You know, so it's sad. Like, we have lost that human aspect. I definitely believe in that. But, yes, a lot of people making just really good points in the chat room.
Yeah.
So it is. It's crazy. So we have a few more callers on the line. So, Flo, you definitely spit and you dropped a lot of knowledge. I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and place you back on hold. I'm going to go ahead and let in area code 503, okay?
That's fine.
All right. So area code 503, I'm going to go ahead and let you on the air. 503, you're live with Table Talk with T.
Hello,
did you have something to add?
Yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
Could I have your name?
Yeah. Oh, my name is Kenneth Hewam.
Hey, Kenneth, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very good, and first of all, I want to start out by saying, like, I watch your videos all the time. I just love everything that you say, you know, because it makes the most sense, you know?
Thank you
and,
so much. I appreciate that.
You are so more than welcome. The second thing I want to add is I'm actually from Nigeria. And when I want to say is why is it that most of the stuff that happens is always from America? And, you know, it's not me condemning the nation. I'm just curious because most of this, you know, disasters or just mainly Sandy Hook, all of this is mostly from America. And that's one thing that I really want to know, honestly.
Right. No, and I definitely agree with you. And I think it's a cultural thing. I think it's a cultural thing. You know, like many people know or don't know, I'm Nigerian. I have Nigerian parents. So, you know, the way we were raised, we're different from the way a lot of my African-American friends were raised. But we just found similarities. I found people who were like-minded, you know, because...
Yeah.
I think a lot of people tend to think that, you know, if you're African-American, you know, like most African-American people are ghetto or, you know, like there's like this bad stigma. You know, it doesn't help when you have YouTube videos just bashing, you know, African-American women.
Yeah.
And I definitely think it's a bad stigma because I know so many African-American people who are good people, who are positive people, who are on their, you know, on their shit, so to say. But unfortunately, you have the media, you have sites like World Star Hip Hop. They feed off of showing the negativity. They feed off of showing, you know, it's almost like what came first, the chicken or the egg. So you have people that perpetuate that lifestyle. They perpetuate certain things like fighting, acting loud, ghetto, belligerent, you know, and then they post the stuff onto the internet. But what people don't realize, it's not just, you know, African-Americans or just the black community seeing this stuff. This is how the world is viewing people. And people don't have time to decipher if you're African from the continent or if you're African-American, if you're from the Caribbean. They see a black face.
Yeah.
So now it represents all black people. So now when they see you, you're Nigerian, but they're automatically thinking you're black. you're one of those people on World Star Hip Hop. You're one of those people they talk about in the media. So I definitely think that a lot of it is cultural. And I think a lot of people, you know, it's just sad because we've just fallen off as a people in general.
Yeah, and I was listening when the other caller was talking. You guys are absolutely right about the whole school system thing, because back, you know, it's really a difference when you come from, like, a school in, let's say, Nigeria and a school in America. You can definitely tell the difference, because in the method of, you know, teaching and learning, it's really clear, you know. It's so clear.
Right. You know, and then a lot of other countries, like I know a lot of my friends, even from the Caribbean, from, you know, the islands and things like that. And even, you know, friends like, you know, friends who are Asian, who come from other countries, they tend to appreciate education more. Because in other countries, education is not free. And people have to fight just to go to school. It's a struggle just to go to school. You know, people want to learn, but here we take stuff for granted.
Yeah.
And see, I was raised to not take it for granted because I saw the stuff that my parents went through, that my mother went through, that my father went through. So it's like they never took education for granted. So getting suspended, that was an option. You went to school and you went to school to learn. You weren't to go to school and be disruptive. I saw, like, the teacher calling our house and being like, oh, your child was doing this. That was not an option. If that happened, you got beat, and you got disciplined, you got dealt with. So I just think a lot of people just don't take, you know, education, quote-unquote, seriously. But, you know, I just, you know, the whole situation, Ron, if you want to speak on it, from coming from, like, an African-American point of view, to answer Kenneth's question.
Run the question for me again, sorry.
I mean, the question is, why is it mostly, you know, from... Why is mostly of all of this stuff from, you know, American, you know, why is it always in America that this always happens? Like the children's being killed by a, you know, mass murderer or something else after the other. Mostly it's always based in America, and that's the question, why?
This is my personal thoughts on it. It's like a lot of this stems from fragmenting or destroying the family structure. It's when you tear that structure from within. The same structure that, you know, that builds communities and actually nations. You know, you're seeing a lot of that. Once that's gone, you're seeing, like, society, especially the United States, implode on itself. And, you know, when you take discipline, when you take, you know, morals and direction away from the children, and you pretty much, like, exchange that with all this ratchet nonsense. Again, it's like it's the worst thing that ever happens, because there was a time where we, again, like, we used to sit there and take care of each other, not just as family, but neighbors and people. Now you got a nation of individuals, and everyone's like an island to themselves. And, again, you have to wonder who stands to profit from taking out individuals one by one without any resistance. When it came to a family, you had to fuck with everybody. Mom, dad, aunts, uncles, everybody. And there's people who don't want that. So what you're seeing is, like, once they destroy the home, they can destroy everything else. They can take, I mean, they add stuff to your food. They'll poison your mind with stuff on television and miseducation. And everything on every level is meant to break people down to what we're seeing right now. So that's my personal take on it.
So, I mean, so what do you feel as far as, like, the African-American family structure? Because it seems like that's what a lot of people say is missing. Like, you know, that's why the kids are out here, you know, wilding out, acting crazy, because the family structure is not there. And it's not in every African-American household, but it's just in some, the ones, the cases that we're constantly seeing in the news. Just like last week, we were talking about how JoJo's mom swears up and down she had no idea that her son was in a gang. You know, and it's just unfortunate. It's like, where are the parents?
Yeah, I think that African Americans in America are being, you know, put in a negative light more often than, you know, not. And I think, you know, that's really terrible. You know.
Right. So now let me ask you, because a lot of people in the chat room are talking, Everybody shouting out their nationality. You got Danica, she represents Trinidad. So we got a lot of people from the islands, or from the island descent in the chat room. I know Rebel is Dominican. So, you know, it's definitely a good way to get everything bona fide. He's Jamaican. What else? Oh, she said she's Dominican, but she's black. Girl, I know that's right. So, you know, everybody, I think it's a good way for everybody to come together, you know, because it's unfortunate that a lot of people buy into, Brian Quimby saying that African-Americans tend to buy into that negative light. And it is sad, you know, and I think that people need to prove themselves. G. Stewart said he's African-American. I know that's right. Sandy said he's one-fourth African. So we have a lot of people in the chat room from different descents, and I'm happy to see that. And at the end of the day, most of us are all black. And we have somebody in there from St. Lucia. So, you know, we're all black people of African diaspora. You know, that's what a lot of people don't realize. You know, and I always get on it, especially with a lot of my Hispanic friends, is that I don't care how straight your hair is or, you know, things like that. At the end of the day, slavery did not start in America. Like we say this every other show. Before they reached the shores of America, they stopped in the Caribbean. They stopped, you know, in Latin America. So there's just as many black people in Brazil. There's, you know, there's a lot of Yoruba people, Nigerian descent in Brazil.
Yeah.
And they make up a great portion of the population there. You know, if you go to, if you ever look up videos on YouTube in Colombia, in Ecuador, black people, you know, dark-skinned black people at that. So a lot of people tend to think that all Hispanics look like Jennifer Lopez, and it's not true. You know, so I think we need to stop that divide. You know, it's easier to say those people over there, those African-Americans. You know, and I think that's what's kind of harmed the black community because so many people want to divide themselves and say, well, I'm not them, I'm not those people. And it's understandable because of the way that a lot of people behave and the images that you see on television, the images that you see on the Internet. But I think if more good people, if more good-standing African-American people and black people denounce the bullshit, I think it would cease. You know, when you check the ratchet people, you know, there's no shame anymore, like Ronan says all the time.
Yeah.
And I think if there were more people speaking against that besides myself and maybe Tommy and a few other people on YouTube, I think a lot of this stuff would slow down. But people are so scared to say anything. You know, and that's the sad part. Yeah. People are scared to say anything. People are scared to step out the box. People are scared to be different, you know. So.
Yeah.
And I think it does a greater harm when you continue to let the ratchet shit ride. And if you want to stay on the call with us, you can. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. We're going to kind of change subjects a little bit. I don't know if you heard about this situation with Neil's baby's mom. We were talking about this right before the show, Ronan.
Yeah.
The singer Neil, do you know who he is, Kenneth?
Neil, the singer. Okay. He always wears the hat and,
Right. So what happened is that basically he was on Behind the Music a few weeks ago, and everybody was watching it, and he was saying that the girl that he was with, he had been with her for a few years, even before he blew up. She became pregnant.
Yeah.
And he helped raise this child until this child was three. And as the child was getting older, the child just really didn't really look like him. So they ended up getting a DNA test, and it was proven not to be his child. And this man broke down. Like, you could tell he was very hurt by this. And the girl basically, because his name was on the birth certificate, she sued him for, like, $500,000.
Wow.
He gave her the money, and she went on with her life. He's never seen this boy since then. This was a kid that he raised for 3 years. So he speaks on it on VH1. And basically it's come out this week that this woman is now suing Neo for basically supposedly breaking confidentiality and for putting her on blast. So like I said, there's no shame. And we have to check people like that. First of all, how many people can you sleep with in a short period of time that you don't know who you're pregnant by? So that right there is the issue for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And basically anything for many.
Right. Exactly. But, again, you have people out here who are having sex unprotected, obviously, for there to be a chance that another man could father your child. So you're sleeping with two men around the same time, unprotected. And then you sit here and lie to this man and say that it's his child. He goes about taking care of the child, doing what he needs to do, because so many times we're quick to say that black men ain't shit. and black men don't take care of their child. And that's not true. You have some who don't, but there's still a lot of good, upstanding black guys out here. So he's doing what he has to do. He finds out it's not his child, and instead of her taking personal responsibility and being embarrassed to even put herself out there like that, she not only sues him for money, then she takes the child and disappears, but now she comes back out the woodwork because she got put on blast on VH1. Honestly, if I was a judge, I would throw the case out.
Yeah.
You know, what were you going to say about it? Because I know you said you had some things that you wanted to say.
This is a prime example of legalized extortion. And it shows that virtually not just her, but a legion of other people don't even give a shit about kids. Because why would you even put not just the father, but the children overall through that? For what? For, you know, some measly amount of dollars or whatever? What do you expect to gain from that besides embarrassing yourself and other people just because you have poor pussy mismanagement skills? So, with her and Ray Lewis and a legion of other people who go through this madness and get drugged through the hypocrisy, which is family court, there are people who profit from this foolishness. Because while you're over there fighting back and forth over money and, you know, holding up people's time, they're preparing your children for the prison industrial complex and every other industry that they can get money from, which fuels the dysfunction. So it goes back to the whole thing about this is why it is important to destroy or keep the family structure fragmented. And, you know, it really is kind of sad. I mean, I'm not really a fan of Neil, but the fact that you get to find out in an embarrassing way that the child that you came to, I mean, you've grown attached to is not
right.
Yours. That is, like, devastating. That's, like, psychologically mind-rendering. I mean, it really fucks you up. So you wonder why some people snap and, you know, go off and, like, what else has this person told me that they've been lying about? Or what else?
And on top of that, what if it wasn't a baby? What if it was HIV? And, you know, people in the chat room were talking about Maury and how, you know, the Maury show perpetuates a lot of the nonsense. I mean, you had these hoodbats on there that, you know, I'm 1,000% sure that he is a baby daddy, okay? They got the same socks, the same hat, and he got crispy ears just like his daddy. And then the man walks out there and the audience automatically boos the man. Why are y'all booing the man? Y'all ain't got the test results back, and then the test results come back. Shamika, I'm sorry to say, but he is 99.9. No, he's 100%. You are not the father. She goes running backstage like she's Michael Vick, rolling around on the floor having seizures and shit. You know, and it's like we constantly condone the bullshit. You know, and then Maury will sit there and coddle to the crazy bitch who done drug the dude on the show, try to embarrass him. He's not the father, but you coddling to this hoe. No, you need to coddle to that man that you disrespected. It's not his child. He said, damn it, if I was a dude and they brought me on the show and it wasn't my child, I would C-walk all day.
But you know what?
Hell yeah, I would C-walk and boogie.
You know what, see, this is like all potential because it is part of that division. Like, they're supposed to look, anytime they look at a man, it's like, right off, I'm not supposed to trust this guy. I'm not supposed to allow this person to protect or even, you know, help me in any genuine way. Even if he is an upstanding dude, they're going to say he's the worst thing on earth until proven innocent. Same thing
right,
with
because you're guilty
females.
Until proven innocent.
And same thing with the females. It's like she can do any and everything. She can fuck up till 7 days till Sunday. But somehow there's going to be a happy ending through all that backwards nonsense that she does. You look at Tyler Perry films. You look at all these different Lifetime films. You know, Janie's Beautiful Racialist. Like, it's supposed to be this rite of passage to get yourself fucked up in so many ways, but to show that this pseudo title of strength and perseverance. Well, really, that's just stupid. So, again, once you keep the man and woman divided apart, it's easier to, you know, take the spoils, which is the children, or worse. So
it's crazy. You know, and that's what everybody's saying. While these hoes is running on the Maury show for a free trip to New York, he's banking in. He's making so much money off that show, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just, it's insane. And that's why I say people need to call out the bullshit. When you call out ratchet bitches, you know what I'm saying, and ratchet dudes, because it's not just the females, it's the guys too, I think a lot of the nonsense will stop in the community. But people are so scared to say anything. People are so scared to address certain situations. I'm sorry. If you are pregnant and you don't know who your baby's father is, you're nasty. You can only get pregnant within a certain amount of time. How many guys can you sleep with? Like somebody said, Selena said in the chat room, 12 tests later. I done seen chicks on the Warrior Show bring on 12 guys, and every guy was not the father. How is that okay? And you raising a young lady. So how's your daughter supposed to look at you? How's your son supposed to look at you?
Yeah,
well, look, it says a lot, man.
Yeah, but look what Maury does. Like, every time, like that chick, there was that chick that brought in 12 dudes, tested all of them. She won there five times 12, but that's 60 dudes that we know of. And every time, like, it's okay, we're going to help you find the father. Fucking getting on the stage with 12 dudes is fucked up enough. Where's the bullshit?
It's crazy. And they're even saying in the chat room, Selena was saying that dark-skinned black women have the worst rap. And I definitely believe that, and this is coming from a dark-skinned chick, me.
Well,
I definitely do believe that. I feel like sometimes, even in movies, you know, the darker the girl is, the crazier she has to behave, the more ratchet, the more ghetto, the more manly. You know, so then when you do see a dark-skinned black woman who can carry herself like a woman and carry herself effeminate and, you know, and things like that, people are shocked. Or, you know, you're so pretty to be a dark-skinned girl. You know, and it's crazy. It's like we have to start breaking a lot of these stereotypes. You know, every black woman is not ratchet. Every black woman's goal in life is not to be a world-style hip-hop video model, you know, to shake their ass on YouTube. You know, it's sad. Even when you look on Facebook, I would say go through your Facebook list. At least 99.99% of the females on your Facebook list have pictures with their ass, you know, facing the camera with their head to the back. Everybody's doing the same little booty shots. And it's like, what happened to our faces? Like, you're a beautiful woman. Can we see your face?
No, but again,
you know,
it's,
but
like,
it's like we're not worthy of that anymore. Everything is all about our bodies. It's not even about our face. It's like when you take a picture now, you just take it from the back, and I don't find that attractive at all, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you look at that. When you, matter of fact, go back to the whole thing about the stigma with dark skinned girls are supposed to be supposedly ugly, and light skinned girls are supposed to be, you know, fair and beautiful and stuff. That's another form of self-hatred and division. Again, you and I have seen it across the board. There's been some beautiful dark-skinned women, and then there's been some busted light-skinned, you know, chicks. The ugly and beauty really has no respect to gender nor color. Just doesn't. So, again, people just have to really learn how to become not just self-conscious, but have like a healthy measure of self-esteem and wonder why it is that when you have magazines and other forms of media tell you that you're ugly, these are the same motherfuckers that try to emulate everything you have naturally.
Right.
There's a little bait and switch there, so you have to pay attention to what's going on.
Yep, it's crazy. You know, it's nuts. And a lot of people are making so many good points. Jamal said half the chicks on his Facebook page can't spell.
Yeah.
I know that's right. It's not just your page, boo. Mine too.
It's everywhere.
Right. And then, you know, people are saying people just embrace their naturalness and just be comfortable with who they are. You know, and I think that's the saddest part is that, you know, I think a lot of people are just not comfortable in their skin. And it's not just necessarily black women. It's just women in general. Just a lot of people just not comfortable with who they are. You know, and it's sad. But, yeah, we definitely hit up on some really good points. I'm having a great time. We have about 30 minutes left, so we're going to talk about one more topic, and then we're going to go ahead and get to the gift card giveaway. So you guys start getting ready.
You got to talk about that chick. You got to talk about that one chick.
Oh, Lord. No, you bring it up. Go ahead, Ronan.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Y'all listen to this in the chat room.
You know what? I'm going to post a link in there while I'm going to talk about this. Jesus Christ, this is just wrong on so many levels. Now, there's a woman who was supposed to be set on workman's comp. Actually, she got caught in San Mateo, California. She got caught in a sex romp in a public park. And
she said, like, she hurt her ankles and something like that. And it has been said in this situation to where she was in a compromising position to where she couldn't have done that in a, with an injured ankle. So I'm thinking of a few positions myself, but right now she's been detained. She's been sentenced to 9 months to jail on Thursday on pleading no contest in October. And to pretty much the felony workman's comp fraud or malingering. So when people look at this picture, it should say a million and one things as to why we got to bullshit ourselves and everybody else. Are we really that thirsty out here? I mean, you look at this. This chick.
Did you post her? Did you post her mugshot?
Y'all pulled her mugshot. It is mugshot. I mean, her hand.
Y'all pulled up her mugshot in the chat room. I'm gonna feel like, okay, first of all, you know, see, that's the thing. We love to condemn. We don't condemn fuckery. I see people defending this lady. People are like, oh, it's the white man's fault, and why is the white man so worried about her? They need to be worried about white collar crime. Yeah, and I understand that. But again, you said that you got hurt on the job as a janitor. You said that your leg was broke, you couldn't walk, you need to be on workman's comp. They paid for this woman to sit on her ass for 3 months. Now, you know, when you want workman's comp and the government or whoever is paying you money, you know what I'm saying, because you have an injury, they're going to be wanting to account for their money. They want to make sure that you're really hurt. How many times have we watched Dateline investigation stories with people who have on that big-ass neck brace, and then as soon as they get their car, they pull it off, and then they get busted out? So this is not the first time it's happened. But what's crazy, y'all going in on her in the chat room, y'all stop. But what's crazy is that this woman claimed that her leg was broke, like she couldn't work, she couldn't, you know, sweep. And so she had been hobbling around on crutches. But one of her friends, her own friends, busted her out to the company. They said, you know, they feel like she's lying about the situation. They don't feel like it's real. So they started watching this lady. This lady goes to a public park, has on some 6-inch Beyonce high heels, put her crutches in the back of the car, and starts doing the Beyonce walk down the park to go meet up with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend is sitting in the park bench, and she proceeds to give him head in public on a park bench.
Wow.
So my thing is, we sit there and we try and excuse fuckery. If you're going to be on workman's comp and you're going to be fake about it, have sex at home. Why are you out in public having sex and you have an open workman's comp case? How do you get sex in high heels but your leg ain't working right? Bitch, I'm going to need to get your light. And that's a mugshot for when they arrested her. I'm not getting paid if I don't buy her much. Oh, my God. Camera lady said some people just don't think they're going to get caught. It's foolish. I mean, if you're going to sit here and scam, cool, do you. But my thing is, why sit here and scam out in public? Why would you not invite your boyfriend to the house and then y'all can do what y'all want to do behind closed doors? They can't come in your house and watch you, per se. But when you're out in public at a public park giving head in high heels, you're busted right there. So anyway, she ended up getting arrested. And she ended up serving, what they say she did, 9 months in prison?
Yeah, no, she's like doing 9 months.
I guess she's about to do some time in prison. They're also charging her. She has to pay back the workman's comp. And I forgot how much she has to pay back, but it's it's quite a few $1,000s that she has to pay back. And then when they called her for an interview, she's like, well, sometimes when you need it, you just got to, you know, get it when you need it. So once again, no shame, no nothing. I was just cracking up when I seen. I was like, I can't believe this. I said, this story is a hot mess.
See, I have to say this, but in looking at that mugshot, my dick is not approved of this nonsense.
You are so stupid. Jamal said this bitch is too damn cocky to give a head in public. What the hell? People have no shame anymore. I mean, it's one thing that, you know, be a freak, do what you want to do. If you want to have sex in the park, that's your business. As long as you're grown and you're not, you know, sleeping with no trannies and then lying about it, you're not molesting no children in the park, do what you want to do. But do not be on workman's comp, strutting down the park in Beyonce high heels, doing that, you know, that song, Crazy in Love, doing the Crazy in Love walk, all the while being on workman's comp.
see, I had to throw the red challenge flag on this one because, look, if you are facially challenged, there are certain things you should not be doing. So you need to get that shit together. I mean, she's just not presentable in public. She just isn't. I just couldn't see her on her knees looking up at me. I'd be like, nah, I can't do it. I just can't.
Bonafide said men will find anyone to have sex with even if they look busted.
Look, no,
you gotta go in the chat room. I'm telling y'all, when he sent me that pic, I said, what the hell?
T, you cannot be having sex with people in public whose face is harder than
exactly.
If they can cut diamonds with their face, you should not be able to have sex with them in public. Just don't.
That's crazy. That is crazy. So before we start the gift card giveaway, because we got about 29 minutes left. This show going by fast. I hate how fast the show be going by. So, okay, G Stewart has sent me the story. I had just seen it earlier tonight. I don't know if you guys heard, but y'all remember Little JoJo. It seems like we always talk about Chicago every show. So what happened in Chicago was Christmas was just yesterday. They're saying that over a dozen people were shot on Christmas and one died. So it just came out that one of the people that was killed was an up-and-coming rapper. He was Little JoJo's best friend. His name was Joseph as well. I have the story here. So basically, his name was JoJo. He went by the name J-Loud. And so he had been beefing with a few people in the neighborhood. He lived in the Inglewood neighborhood of Chicago. And basically, he was wearing a tribute shirt that says, rest in peace, Little JoJo. And his family members had been telling him, you know, you can't be going through Inglewood wearing no Little JoJo shirt. And he decided to wear the shirt. And they said when he got off the city bus, some guys confronted him and they started fighting. His name was Joshua Davis. What was his real name? Joshua Davis. He's 18 years old. He's an aspiring rap artist. And basically, after the fight, somebody pulled out a gun and they shot and they killed this young man. So, once again, another young life has been taken on the streets of Chicago behind some nonsense, behind wearing a T-shirt tribute for a friend. You know, and...
Wow. Where's the national
outcry? It's disheartening.
Where's the national outcry for this mess?
Right, and there's not going to be any national outcry.
No,
there's not going to be, unfortunately. You know, and it just goes to show you how much how some people just don't value life. You know, when you have nothing to live for, you don't care. And that's why I say I have to surround myself with like-minded people, people who want to live life, people who want to do better. Because if you don't care about your life, I know damn well you don't care about mine. So I can't have myself in certain situations. You know, and that's the mentality right now that a lot of these kids are growing up with, that they're never going to live to see past the age of 21. If they don't, you know, if they don't graduate high school, they're going to probably end up in prison anyways. The mentality is out of control. The guns, people, you know, so willing to pull out a gun and kill somebody and not think twice about it. You know, how do you sit there and pull out a gun and kill your own brother? Because technically we're all black, and a lot of this is black-on-black violence, which is just really, really sad. You know, for him to only be 18, he was just beginning to live his life. But again, the story, the cycle repeats itself. Another young man, what, trying to be a rapper. And then in the picture that they had posted, he's rolling up a blunt. You know, so, and I mean, that's not the judgment because a lot of people smoke weed, but it's just the fact that we have to start encouraging our young men to be more than rappers, more than entertainers, you know, more than hip-hop artists, you know, but the whole situation is just sad. And like you said, who's going to speak on it? I know Obama ain't going to speak on it. And when I say something about him, you know, saying something, I don't expect him to wave a magic wand, but just, you know, even addressing the situation, the killings. Now, he did kind of touch on it during the whole Sandy Hook, you know, situation, but, you know, it's just unfortunate that more can't be done. A lot of people are saying, you know, guns should be banned, but if you know anything about Chicago, Chicago has one of the strictest gun laws in the country. You can't own a gun in Chicago, but guess what? People still own them because criminals don't follow laws. You know, what criminal is not going to have a gun? So you're really just affecting the citizens when you say that people are not allowed, you know, good law-abiding citizens can't have guns, but yet all the criminal elements have guns.
And that's what most people don't pay attention to. It's like, again, criminals don't give a shit about the laws. They're going to do what they're going to do. Or people who just feel that they have to protect themselves some kind of way, they're going to do what they got to do. So the whole thing about turning in your guns and, you know, worrying about what was manufactured or, you know, with this Sandy Hook thing, which I believe, or any of the stuff that happens, is supposed to be a national tragedy. And you got people who get killed on the street and it barely makes the local news. Then what?
Right.
Yeah.
And they're saying, Melissa made a really good point in the chat room. She's saying that black-on-black crime is not important to anybody. You don't even see Reverend Al Sharpton out there marching about this. And see,
nope,
that's what
exactly.
gets me. I definitely agree with her comment. That's what bothers me. When it's some white-on-black, they're going to come out full force. The whole Trayvon Martin situation, people came out, people wanted to buy Skittles and hoodies and Lipton iced tea and everything else. And I understood how messed up that was, don't get me wrong, because I did the video on it. But again, if we're going to go get up in arms when it's one white man killing one black man, you know, we get all up in arms and get upset. Where's the same outrage when it's constantly black kids killing other black kids? Because these are babies. A lot of these murders and a lot of these killers in Chicago, these are not grown men. You know, these are kids. These are young kids under the age of 18 that are out here just killing each other with no remorse, with no regards, and their whole mentality is either, you know, kill or be killed. And it's not just Chicago. You know, I got an email from a young man the other day. He lives in Colorado, and he said he wants to come on the show, and he'll probably share his story one of these days. But, you know, he was just telling me that it's gotten so bad in Colorado. And you don't think about Colorado being any type of, you know, crime-ridden city. But he was like, the urban area in Colorado has gotten so bad. He was shot a few years ago, and he's now confined to a wheelchair. And he's trying to, you know, help other people learn about the stuff that's going on out here and, you know, just enlighten the young kids and stuff like that. And he's a father as well. So, you know, crime is touching all of us. No matter where you live, you can be affected by crime. But it's just kind of sad that when it comes to black-on-black violence, a lot of these big leaders won't touch it. You know, you don't have Jesse Jackson out there really, you know, marching and calling for certain things. Now, I will say Louis Farrakhan does. Louis Farrakhan marches through Inglewood and Chicago all the time. You know, there's all types of videos, and he speaks a lot to black men and black youth about criminal violence. Do I expect Louis Farrakhan to wave a magic wand and everything is okay? No, I don't. But at least he's trying to do something, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
Look, Brian says he wants Obama to say, if I had a son, he would look like little JoJo. And, you know, that's so sad because he's not going to say it. He's not going to say it. Nope. You know, that's the sad part.
It's not going to benefit him to say that or do anything about it, especially with these black leaders either. Because, again, you know, it's sad. You know, if it's in your neighborhood, you can run around and what's the best going to happen? A march? What has that done? You know, no one is putting forward legislation or anything. No one has the whole gun control argument then when you have people gunned down, like even four-year-olds get shot in their room and they didn't do nothing.
That'd be pissing me off.
So, but again, you know, it's amazing how segregation of how you should mourn is put into place. But that's a whole other show
right.
in itself.
Right.
Yeah.
We're gonna keep touching up about it. Look at Selena, time out. You got 22 minutes left, T. I'm getting there, boo. Man, the chat was trying to rush me. Thank you, ma'am. I'm getting the gift cards. Do y'all hear this rustling? That's the gift cards coming out the package. So we're going to go ahead and start the contest. Thank you so much, Kenneth, for calling in. That's one thing
You're
I love
welcome.
About the show.
You're
we
welcome.
Hear from everybody, you know, and I'm glad we're able to. Everybody was kind of discussing their, you know, ethnic backgrounds and their nationalities, and I love that.
Yeah.
Because so many times we just see a black face and we automatically assume that they're African-American, and that's not, you know, the case. So, you know, thank you for calling in. I love hearing from my Nigerian
people. I just love your videos. I just hope you keep on doing them. It's just great.
Thank you so much, and definitely feel free
You're
to
welcome.
Send me an email anytime. So thank you for stopping by the show and, you know, spending some time with us here on the air. So, you know, definitely
You're
stay
welcome.
Tuned. I'm going to post a link once again in the chat room so you can join in and try and win a gift card as well, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
All right. Tonight has been a really fun show. It really has. It's been a really, really good show tonight. You got folks in the chat room rushing me and stuff.
Mm. I want my sushi.
Lucien, I don't know how to pronounce these names. I'm sorry. Miss 758, she's from St. Lucia. I don't even know, Lucien? Is that right? Okay. She's saying that the chat room is fun. I'm glad you're having fun, and I'm glad everybody's able. We get along here in our chat room. There ain't no drama. And if we even get a troll, we go in on the troll, and the troll ends up leaving. Just like the man that came in last week and said he was horny, and we kind of chased him out the chat room.
Okay, come on back.
Like, we're like, I need some love. We just need to make love. We're like, sir, you're an old man. Why are you here? Like, you're about 55 years old. You're harassing us. Don't nobody want to think about you having sex. We're trying to chop it up. But no, we have a good time in our chat room. That's what we do. So we're going to go ahead. I'm glad everybody came in. We got a lot of newcomers. Shout out to all the new people. You know, definitely come back. We're going to be doing this every Wednesday, you know, God willing. It's definitely a good time to discuss and, you know, just think about stuff. So let's go ahead and start the giveaway. So I'm going to post the link one more time. You guys, make sure you have another window open. It's going to be the fastest person. So Roland's going to be looking for responses on my Facebook fan page. I'm going to be, you know, refreshing and trying to look as well. So the first question, drum roll, please. I need that bootleg drum roll, Roland. That's a weak-ass drum roll. You be like... You know, the beatbox or something. Okay, so for the first gift card, we're going to give away the Kohl's gift card for $25. Get anything you want at Kohl's. That's my store. Are you ready? So this is the first question. How many songs off of Kanye West's debut album, College Dropout, were released as singles? And name each song. So that's the first question. And you're going to want to go ahead and type that on my page. So I'm going to repeat it one more time for some of y'all who are kind of slow. What you say, T?
Me.
Oh, oops. Selena said that isn't your, that's my other page. I'm sorry. Why'd I put it on my bootleg page? I'm going to post it right now. I didn't know that page was up. Okay. No, I'm in the chat. I done posted my personal page. There ain't nobody here. Don't try to send me no requests. I already got 4 requests on my personal page. That's the page I had to create because my other page, it was just too much. And
yeah.
Now I'm like, why do I have all these requests? That's because I done posted up my fake personal page. Damn. Now y'all know who I am.
All right, now we
okay.
Got
no, that's not what T stands for, Tasha. People just call me T, but... No, that is just, Lucien, I said Tasha. No, that's just an alias page. Camera lady requested me. Because I'm like, where did I get all these requests from?
Mm.
Okay. So, do you see anybody posting on the fan page yet, Ronan?
Not yet.
Lord have mercy. Okay, let me read the question one more time. I apologize for giving you guys my bootleg page. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let me repeat the question one last time. Okay, how many songs off of Kanye West's debut album, The College Dropout, were released as singles? I need two answers. So one is how many songs, and I need you to name all the songs that became singles off of The College Dropout. We're not making this easy for you guys. So that's for the Kohl's gift card, okay? So for the next one, which is a Target gift card, so for a $25 Target gift card, this is the question. Look at folks, I have no idea. It's called Google, Sean. Google. Okay. So the next question, the new trailer for Love and Hip Hop New York was just released on Christmas Day. Who are the two new rappers being featured on the show? So this is for the Target gift card. So type the answer on my Facebook fan page wall. Again, the question is, the trailer for the new Love & Hip Hop New York, which airs on VH1, it was just released on Christmas Day. Who are the two new rappers being featured on the show? Okay? So that's for Target. Look at Sean Tamman. I'm waiting for the GameStop gift card. They're a mess. Folks is on Wikipedia. Anybody answer the first one here, Ronan? You see anybody?
Yeah, I keep refreshing.
I'm hitting refresh right now. I think we might have a winner. Oh, shit! We got some winners! Hold on. Let me go ahead and pull it up. We got a bunch of... it's on, I don't know if you can see it. Let me see who was first. Dang. Okay, two people were first, but you didn't give us two answers. Trish was first, and she had all the right songs, but you didn't name how many songs, Trish. So the winner for the Kohl's gift card goes to Ashley. She says there were five singles, and those five singles were Through the Wire, Slow Jams, All Falls Down, Jesus Walks, and New Workout Plan. So I'm sorry, Trish, but congratulations, Ashley. And Rebel Flo was close. She came in just like a few seconds after Ashley. So we have a winner. Everybody tell Ashley congrats. Don't y'all be in there hating. And then the person who won the Target gift card was Jamal. Joe Budden and Consequences. Let me find out you be watching reality TV, Jamal. So congrats to Jamal. He won the Target $25 gift card. So you guys, as you guys win the cards, go ahead and just send me a message on my fan page with your address, and I will mail this out to you guys first thing in the morning. So, dang, Jamal, he wasn't playing. He came late and won. How y'all let Jamal win and he came in late? Where they do that at? Jamal came in 10 minutes late. He was the first one to win, so. All right, so we're going to get to the next question. What'd you say, Ronan?
The CP time pays off sometimes.
Right.
Okay, let's go with the next question.
What are these for, Blake? These are just because I'm a nice person. I love my subscribers, and I love people who support me. And it's something I do every year. I always do a gift card giveaway, but this time we're just going to do it on Block Top Radio. So for the next question, okay, this is for the GameStop gift card. So you fellas, y'all better get ready. This is for a $25 GameStop gift card. Y'all can use it to, you know, use it towards purchasing the new Halo or Call of Duty. So, you guys ready? Drum roll. No, Jamal, you can't win again. Stop. You see him how many times, you know? Brother, really? Was that the drum roll?
Yes, just like it is.
That drum roll sounds sick. Look at Jamal trying to win four times. How many times can I win? Jamal, you are out. Okay, so this is for the GameStop gift card. If you guys don't get this right, I'm done with y'all. Y'all got to get this right, especially for you gamers out there. Y'all have to get this answer. So the question is, what year did the first Nintendo Entertainment System, NES, debut? What year?
Come on with it.
So go ahead and type it up now. That's for the GameStop gift card. Let me refresh the page.
All right. Wait.
I know Jamal better not respond. Ooh, no, nobody's answered yet. JT, you had the right answer, but you like 5 minutes late, boo. We got a whole other question. Look at JT trying to answer with a Target gift card. It's been about 5 minutes. So nobody knows the answer?
I got one. Got a Miss Camera Lady.
Oh, let me refresh the page. Did she win? Let
yes,
me
she
see.
Did.
Look at Danica.
Damn it.
Danica, you such a shorty. She's like 1983, I think.
Oh.
It looks, who said 2002?
Who said 2002?
Oh, that was Kenny. Kenny said 2002. Camera Lady is right. Congratulations to Camera Lady. How did y'all let a Camera Lady beat y'all? A woman. I thought the guys for sure had this. Congratulations, Camera Lady. She won the $25 gift card. The answer was 1985. Danica, you were very close, but you're kind of young, so that's probably why you were off by a few years. She tried. She was like, I think it was 1983. That's so cute. If only I could be a senior in high school again. Them was the days. So congrats to Miss Camera Lady here. Look at Jamal. He's still trying to play. Jamal, stop. Okay, so we have about, oh, my God, we got 10 minutes left of the show. So let's go on to the next question. So this is for the Sephora gift card. Number four, this is going to be for Sephora. So all you ladies, get ready. This is for a $25 Sephora gift card. This is a question. Sephora is a combination of two names, Sephos, which is Greek for beauty, and the name Zephora. Who or what is Zephora? And it's spelled Zippora. Who or what is Zephora?
If any of you guys answer this, you need to turn in your testicles to the nearest receptacle.
They might be trying to win it for their girlfriend, Ronan.
Shit.
He's so mean. Who or what is Zephora? That is the question. I'm going to refresh the page.
All right, just waiting.
Let's see here.
You got one.
Oh, okay. Sandy. Sandy got it. No, no, that ain't the answer, girl. No. We need to know who she is. She just put the name down. That's the spelling of the name, but who is she? Who is
correct.
That person? That's, you got to give us the answer.
That's correct spelling, but.
It's the correct spelling, but I felt it, so it's going to be correct.
Slow ass internet.
My internet is not slow. It is Clearwire. It was kind of quiet for a moment there. Oh, let's see. We got a bunch of answers.
Yeah. Oh.
Damn. Oh, it's a lot of answers. Hold on, y'all. Let's see who did it first. Ooh. Danica. She said the wife of Moses. You are right, Danica. Okay, first of all, how did these two late people, Jamal and Danica, beat y'all? Danica was 20 minutes late and won the $25 gift card. I know that's right. So congratulations to Danica. She won the Sephora gift card. It was a lot of people who came with the answers.
Yeah.
Sandy would have had it, but she just wrote down the name. We need to know the person. But, yeah, she is the wife of Moses, beautiful black woman. So I thought that was really interesting. But, yeah, everybody had the right answer who ended up answering afterwards. All right, so let's go ahead and get to the next question here.
This question.
You are so silly. Okay, so the next one is going to be for the Macy's gift card. We got about 7 minutes left. Dang. But we might just go into overtime, so
okay.
It's cool. So for the Macy's gift card, this question is going to be, okay, so this year, one of my favorite R&B singers was accused of cooning for chicken. Name the artist and write down the lyrics to her ratchet-ass chicken song for a $25 Macy's gift card. Come on, y'all. I know y'all know this song. I feel like singing it.
Don't do it.
Doing my video, and I was dancing with that black coat on.
Chicken.
Let's see. I wonder who's going to get this right first. Oh, my goodness.
This is
what I'm talking about. Y'all better copy and paste it because he won. You know what I'm saying? Y'all better copy and paste it. You guys probably forgot this one. No, Danica, you can't win again.
I'm getting greedy out here.
Danica and Jamal still trying to win more cards. This is for Macy's card. Who was the singer and what were the lyrics?
We need the lyrics and the singer of the song.
Oh, shit. Okay, let's see. Let me see if she got it right. It's halfway right. We need the whole lyrics. You're missing a few ingredients, Sonia. Sonia was first. Well, Ashley answered Mary J. Blige, but you didn't give the lyrics to the song. Brian answered, but you only said crispy chicken. We need the entire lyrics. Y'all can't forget nothing. I want my entire rap. People are sending over bits and pieces. Somebody said three cheeses. We go hit refresh again. Just send me your address. Send me a message on my Facebook page with your name and address, and I'm going to send out the cards. Okay. Oh, snaps. Let's see who got it. Let's see here. Okay, Brooklyn is close, but you forgot something here. I think Gene Stewart won it. Gene Stewart in the chat room, he won. Mary J. Blige, crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, French dressing wrapped up in a tasty flour tortilla.
Why?
So Gene Stewart won that. He got the lyrics and the name. So congratulations. Congratulations to Gene. This is the funniest contest. I'm going to have to do contests via Blog Talk Radio again. This is funny. So Gene, you won. Congratulations. So we got three more left. Three more gift cards left. So, oh my God, we're down to 4 minutes. So the next one is for the Best Buy gift card, okay? So 2012 was the year of the big presidential election. Nicki Minaj stirred up drama by stating the following lyrics. I'm a Republican voting for Mitt Romney. You lazy bitches are fucking up the economy. What was the name of the album and the song that she recited those lyrics on? Plus, who was the other black celebrity who received death threats for endorsing Mitt Romney as well? So I need two answers.
Come get it.
Let's see who got that.
I think we got one.
Dang, Clear White is slow. Don't judge me. you close, Blake, but we need two answers. Did he say the other person?
No, he didn't say the other person.
Blake, you got to say that we need one more answer, Blake. You was the first one to respond.
Click on the trigger.
Who else was the other woman who got threatened?
Still refreshing.
Let's see here. Did you hit refresh? Look at my mic. Did you hit refresh? Okay. We're going to... Did he get it? Did he come back and reply?
Look at Chara.
Oh, Chara got it.
Yeah.
And then Kenny came in right after. So Trotter got it. The answer is Stacey Dash. The song is Mercy, and it was on the Dedication 4 album, which was Lil Wayne's album. So, Blake, you were close, but you didn't add Stacey Dash. So Trotter got that. So congratulations, Trotter. You win the $25 gift card. Let's see how much time we got left. Then we got 2 minutes left. Okay, so let me do these last two questions. So for the Foot Locker gift card, so for the fellas, y'all better get ready. This is for the Foot Locker gift card. Name at least two football players who were famous for playing more than two sports. There's three names that we're looking for, but all you have to do is name two football players who were famous for playing more than two sports for a Foot Locker gift card. And then I'm going to do the question for the TGIF Friday right now as well before we end up going off the air.
Right.
We got 90 seconds left. So for the last one, when Blue Ivy was born this year, which is Beyonce and Jay-Z's daughter, caused mass hysteria. People on Twitter said that this is what the real meaning of Blue Ivy stood for. They said that it meant something more sinister. Write down what the meaning of Blue Ivy stands for. I need to know what the meaning of blue stands for and what the meaning of ivy stands for the TGIF Friday gift card.
Hmm.
We got 60 seconds left.
You know what?
Let's see here. We'll go. Me and you will go into overtime to announce the winners. And then just stay in the chat room because I'm going to announce the winners as well.
Brooklyn is
right. So what do you think about her answer?
Brooklyn is right. Yes.
Because that's one of them, right? Okay, so Brooklyn won the Foot Locker gift card. She put down Deion Sanders and Michael Jordan. So congratulations to Brooklyn. So the TGIF gift card. We got about 10 seconds left. I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight. Tonight was a wonderful show. Make sure you guys send me your address so I can mail out your gift cards. I'm going to hit refresh one more time so we can try and see who the winner is. Let's see here. Tonight was a really fun show. Oh, Lord. Let's see. Who won the Blue Ivy?
It looks pretty cool.
A lot of answers.
Yeah.
Born, Living Under Evil, Blue Ivy, Forever, Blue, Munati's Very Own. Let's see. It looks like. Oh, Sharice Reese. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right. I'm sorry. But Sharice won. So congratulations, everybody who won. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. So make sure you guys send me your addresses. Looks like we're done. We're off the air. So it was such a good show. We had so many winners. So make sure you guys join me on YouTube. Any last words, Ronan?
I'm just thankful we have a very intelligent and fun audience. They help make the show all the more interesting. And I said I'm honored again to co-host with a phenomenal host. So, you know, people who don't like
thank you.
And everybody who has a problem with Lovely T and Ronan, you need to give yourself a shotgun enema and headbutt a running chainsaw. So.
Shut up. You need to be nice. Get off my show. All right, you guys. Good night, and thank you guys so much for calling. I had a wonderful time. This was one of our best shows. Talk to you guys later.
All right,
deuces.